Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's online experience. We'd love to know where you're watching from, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Make sure to like, share, and comment, and let us know. And if you have a prayer request, make sure to comment that below. We have a full experience for you guys with worship and a message from Pastor Tony. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's online experience.
What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to our Water's Edge Sunday morning online experience. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you so much for hanging in there with us and being generous. Just to let you know, this past week we had food pantry on Thursday. We were able to feed 1,600 people thanks to you and your love and your kindness and your servanthood and your generosity. It's been a great, great week. Also, we want to let you know, let's get excited about this. We're opening back up on April the 4th. We'll be back in-house. It'll be Easter. We'll be working on the building, but even if it's not finished, we're still going to get back in here. And so spread the word. Let's have Easter together, our first time back in over a year together. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for loving us and for pursuing us and for seeing the best in us, God, and for calling that out in us and giving us grace and compassion and mercy, but also giving us the strength to face ourselves and to own up to those things that we need to change. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You know, there's something in this life that just is not up for discussion. It can't be ignored. It can't be negotiated, and it cannot be avoided, and this is what it is. Life will absolutely hit you with difficult times, sometimes over and over and over again. In the book of Lamentations, the text tells us this, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, and I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. This is what the author says, "Great is God's faithfulness, and his mercies begin afresh each morning." And so according to the author, God has this fresh, faithful new mercy for us every single day. And the reason why God has a fresh new mercy for us every single day is because every single day when we rise up and we go about our life, we can get hit with different challenges and different trials. And so we need a new mercy every single day. When I was in high school, man, I fell in love with combat sports, especially boxing, because that's really all there was back in the 90s. But I love karate, I love mixed martial arts, and my dad loved boxing. I remember as a little boy, I was always watching Sugar Ray Leonard fights with him and Evander Holyfield fights with him, and he would just get so excited in the living room when we were watching boxing. And my dad used to box when he was a kid. In fact, he boxed in Golden Gloves tournament. He was pretty good. And so sometimes my dad would take me to the backyard and he would try to show me techniques. He would try to show me stances and how to block and how to do head movements and what type of punches to throw. And one time he asked me this question. He said, "Tony, if you know a punch is going to hit you and you're not able to block it, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, Dad, I guess you just kind of bear down and lean into it so it doesn't hurt you as bad." He goes, "No, don't do that." He goes, "Don't bear down and lean into it, because if you do that, when that punch hits you and you're leaning into it, it's just going to be like a collision. It's just going to be like a car crash." I said, "Well, what do? He says, "You roll with it." I says, "What does that mean?" He says, "If you know a punch is about to hit you and you can't block it, then when it starts to make contact, you just roll with it. You just roll with it. And it makes the impact not that great." And sometimes in life, the punches that are thrown at us are going to strike us and we can't do anything about it. And let's be honest, sometimes life will strike you, and sometimes life will strike you very, very hard. And sometimes there's nothing you can do to avoid it, and you just have to roll with it. Notice the message that was given to the disciples in the city of Corinth when they were facing extremely difficult times. Notice what the missionary Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. He says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." And so we have this great treasure on the inside of us. We have purpose on the inside of us. We have love on the inside of us. We have joy and hope on the inside of us. We have God's compassion on the inside of us, but we're fragile. We're like clay jars, and sometimes life can just tear us down. Sometimes life is overwhelming. Sometimes life is depressing. Sometimes life can just bring you to the edge, and it can crush you. And so he says this, "We have this great treasure, but we're fragile jars of clay." And then he says this, "And this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by our troubles. Life is hitting us hard," he says, "but we are not crushed." That means we roll with it. "We are perplexed." That means life is hitting us hard, but not driven to despair, which means we are rolling with it. We are hunted down, which means life is striking us hard. But he says, but we're not abandoned by God, which means we can roll with it. We get knocked down because life hits us hard, but we're not destroyed because we can roll with it. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies, which is one of my greatest desires, honestly. I was telling one of my friends the other day, man, I'm not trying to change the world. At the end of the day, I just want to live like Jesus. I just want to love like Jesus. That's who I want to be. That's how I want to be known. I want to forgive like him. I want to love like him. I want to reach out like him. I want to serve like him. I want to accept people like him. I want to run to the fringes of society, to the marginalized like him. I just want people to notice the grace of God in my life. And so all of this brings me to what's really on my heart today to share with you. And remember this today. Don't spend your time hoping for a life without challenges or pain. I've had so many people say, hey, Tony, I just wish this would go away. I just wish I was free from this. I wish I was free from this temptation. I wish I was free from this desire. I wish I was free from these feelings and this sadness and this despair. Stop wishing for a life that's free from the hits. The strikes are going to come. Instead, work on creating a life and relationships that can withstand what's always going to be thrown at you, because life is always going to try to strike you. There's always going to be something else, which is why God has a faithful new mercy for us every single morning, because every single day there's something that can happen that can hit you hard. Stop hoping for a life that's free from that. It's never going to happen. Temptation will always be there. The temptation to give in to sadness will always be there. The temptation to give in to pride or selfishness will always be there. Sometimes circumstances will strike your life. It's not even your fault, but you have to deal with it. You didn't do it, but it was done to you, but you still have to pick up the pieces. Stop wishing for a life that's free from that, because it's never going to happen. Instead, try to create this life and relationships that when you are struck by the circumstances of life and you're getting hit hard, that you can withstand those things. Learn how to roll with the punches. One of the most valuable characteristics of someone who's able to deal with the punches that life throws at them and they're able to roll with the punches is this. If you're still with me out there on internet land, say I'm still with you. It's self-awareness. Our commitment to self-awareness will guarantee that we continue to grow in life, even when life hits you hard. Because we can be, you can be a kind person, but you can still have reactions in your life that causes you to treat other people in an unkind way. You can be a very trustworthy person, but you can still have reactions in your life that causes you to betray other people. Let me say that again. You can be a trustworthy person, but you can still have reactions in your life that causes you to hurt people and betray other people. You can be a loving person, but you can still have reactions in your life that causes you to get angry and have angry responses. And so you and I have to develop self-awareness. And when we do, that's when you and I can take responsibility for our actions and instead of always finding a reason to justify it. Well, I said this because this happened to me. I'm dealing with this because I went through that a long time ago. I feel this way because they did this to me. There's always an excuse. There's always a justification. We all have hurt in our life. Most of us have trauma in our life, but many times we let that become our identity because we always find reasons to rest in our pain, and then it becomes our identity. This is who I am. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I'm defeated. I'm sad. I'm depressed, and then that's how people begin to know us, and we start to make excuses to justify it instead of rising back up and becoming the type of person that's self-aware of those things and we're able to roll with the punches and to overcome those things. Are you self-aware? Because the work of self-awareness helps us build the capacity to roll with the punches that life throws at us and to withstand the hits that strike our life. And so because of all that, here's a few real-life, practical observations to help us be more self-aware. The first one is this. You have to believe that you can withstand the trials that you face. Now, everyone, I want you to pay attention right now. I have been through things in this past year that have been worse than anything else I've ever been through in this life. I have cried more tears over the past few months than I did when my father passed away. Life sometimes is difficult. Sometimes life will just strike you hard. And sometimes we give into this belief that I just can't rise back up again. I just can't do this again. I'll never be the same. But here's the deal. If you want to change and if you want to overcome and if you want to roll with the punches and withstand life striking you hard, then the first step is you just simply got to believe. The Bible talks about belief all the time and the power of belief. You can overcome unforgiveness if you believe that you can first. You can overcome anger if you believe that you can first. You can overcome that despair in your life if you believe that you can first. And so the first step is you have to believe that what God has put on the inside of you can help you withstand the hits that strike your life. The second thing is this: ask yourself better questions about yourself. I do this all the time. In fact, David said this: God, search me and know me. I lay myself on the altar. I'm like an open book before you, and evaluate me, God, investigate me. That was him being self-aware. And he says this: and show me the ways that need to change. And so sometimes instead of asking questions about other people and other circumstances, and this happened to me, why? And that happened to me, why? Instead, ask questions about yourself. You say, Tony, what type of questions? I'm glad you asked. Here's a few examples. The first one is this: what are my strengths? If you can identify your strengths, then you can find your purpose. And if you can identify your strengths, then you can set down the path to find your purpose, and you can also identify your weaknesses. And once you identify your weaknesses, then you become more self-aware and you can stop justifying those weaknesses. The second question is this: what matters most to me? Your family, your kids, your health, your future, your faith, your personal peace, your personal purpose. Fight for that. Fight for them. Fight for peace. Fight for love. Life will hit you. Get up and hit back. Life will strike you down. Don't stay down. Get back up and strike back. Fight for your kids. Fight for your family. Fight for your future. Fight for your purpose. Fight for your hope. Fight for your joy. Fight for your love. Fight for your faith. Keep going. Life strikes you, roll with it. Withstand it, because your life is too important and too valuable and too precious to God to give up and quit. Am I preaching or what? You're still with me, so I'm still with you. Next question: what am I ashamed of? Now, everybody needs to understand that we all have weak moments. I tell people all the time, you're not all good and you're not all bad. You're a mixture of everything. You're a mixture of both. You have good in you, most of the time that comes from God, and you have bad in you, and most of the time that comes from you. But don't allow your failures and your weak moments to define who you are and to become your identity. Don't let it become your identity. It was a moment. It's over. You've confessed it. You evaluate yourself. You defeat whatever caused you that shame, and the next time it tries to punch you, you can be stronger and you can roll with it. And then here's the last question: what are my values? What do you want to dictate your path in life? Who do you want to be? How do you want to be known for? Selfishness or love? Pride or love? Lacking self-control or love? Giving up or love? Anger or love? Irritability or love? And the reason why I say love is the opposite of all those things is because of this. And we all know these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. My Lord. Most people who come to church have a list. I can't talk to them anymore. They did that to me. I can't hang out with them anymore. They said that about me. I don't want to be a part of that crew anymore. They hurt me. Okay, I understand. I get it. It just means that you're not loving, though, because love doesn't keep a record of wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. My. How Christians love to rejoice when other Christians get knocked down. We're the best at shooting our wounded. We're the best at kicking our own when they're down. It's not the Jesus way. It ain't Christ-like. It's certainly not love. This is the most important part. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And then love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Say, Tony, what does that mean? It rolls with the punches, man. It doesn't give up. It doesn't lay down. It doesn't quit. It doesn't stop. It withstands those attacks. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It believes and endures through every single circumstance. Love produces the fruit of patience, kindness, trusting. Love is anti-pride. Love is anti-arrogance. Love is anti-irritability. Love is anti-boasting. Love does not give up. Love forgives. And patience is strength. Kindness is strength. Trusting is strength. Not being prideful is strength. Not being irritable is strength. Not being the type of person that's boasting about yourself is strength. Not giving up is strong. Forgiveness is strong. And so love God, love others, and yes, love yourself. You don't hear that a lot in churches today. In fact, growing up, I was really given the impression most of the gospel presentations I would hear is I was supposed to hate myself. That's not true at all. If you go back to the beginning of the story in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created you in his image. There's a hum on the inside of everybody. There's this spark on the inside of everybody. Everyone was created in the image of God, and God said, it is good. And then after he created you and I in his image, he said, that is very, very good. See, most people in churches go straight to the part where you're broken and you're a sinner. But at the end of the day, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. We have to learn how to have the proper view of ourselves. God loves you. Stop hating yourself. Stop apologizing for being alive. Stop letting the false narratives out there about how you're a failure or how you're weak or how you're not beautiful enough, you're not talented enough, you're not good enough, define your identity. That's not who you are to God. You're precious to God. In fact, so precious that he gave up his son. And if you truly understand that, if you love God, love others, and practice on being self-aware so you can love yourself. Then you can roll with the punches. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you have a great week. And don't forget, the doors open back up April the 4th, Easter, back at the Water's Edge. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Wow, what a great message from Pastor Tony this morning. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. And if you'd like to connect with the church through social media, make sure to hit us up on Facebook at Water's Edge Gathering and on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And make sure to download the Water's Edge Gathering app where you can do online worship, you can do online giving, and you can re-listen to messages from Pastor Tony. We absolutely love you guys. Have a great weekend.